Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Really excited right now to jump on the phones and talk to our friend Rick Stroud, Bucks NFL writer for the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him at NFL Stroud. Rick, what's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, Rick, it's a little cold up here.
Yeah, a lot colder than there.
Well, you know, we're freezing. It's getting all the way up to 58 today, so I got the jacket ready.
You know, that's the funny thing. It's like probably 30 degrees here. It's 58, and you all will really be freezing. That's weird to me.
Well,
like, when I come down to Tampa and stuff, it's 58, 60. I don't care. I just have on a regular little coat, jab me a regular shirt, and go ahead and play. People don't want to leave out the house.
No, I hear you. Yeah, we're soft. We get soft. in the summertime, it's like 110 index. So, ooh, you know, this actually feels good to me. I love it.
All right.
That's a fair point, because we were down there for week one, obviously, and we were like, man, this is hot. So let's talk about that. How different is this Tampa team now than they were week one?
Well, I mean, I think they're different in a lot of ways. They're probably, you know, they didn't know exactly what they were on offense. I mean, Liam Cullen was coaching his first game as their coordinator. He had some familiarity with Baker Mayfield when he was with the Rams for about 5 weeks, but you know, that running game that they had at the time was last in the NFL the previous 2 years. And, you know, schematically, it took time for them to groove that. Bucky Irving was probably the second or, you know, second running back. They were really featuring Rashad White at that time. You know, you obviously had Chris Godwin, who's now been out really, you know, half the season. And, you know, I think Jalen McMillan was, you know, he might have had a touchdown in that game, but he wasn't playing a lot. So they've had to change, you know, on offense. They're just, you know, they're a very good offense. They're very efficient. Their offensive line does a nice job running the football, protecting Baker. Bucky Irving has burst onto the scene as one of the top rookies in the league. And, you know, defensively, they're beat up. You know, they're not a whole team. I think they were missing Antoine Winfield. You know, that he played in the first game. He got hurt in the second one. Mm-hmm. They had all their guys, you know, in safety. Now, Jordan Whitehead had an accident. Now he's out for the rest of the year. We'll see if Winfield Jr. comes back today. He hasn't played in about 4 weeks. You know, and then linebacker-wise, I mean, Levante David is, you know, still beating Father Time, but they really don't have another inside linebacker that's played a lot. So it's been different. I think they're a better football team on the offensive side. Not so sure they're as good maybe as they need to be on the defensive side.
In the first game, they were able to rattle out Jaden Daniels a little bit, but he's grown a lot right now. Is that pass rush still like it was?
Well, Todd Bowles blitzed them mercifully. You know, just mm-hmm. I mean, he came. That's what Todd wants to do with rookie quarterbacks. I've sat with him many years, you know, out there at One Buck and talked about his approach. You know, to rookie quarterbacks, he's going to try to bring a lot of different pressures from a lot of different angles and see if he can get their head to drop. And once it drops down and looks at the rush, he's got him. And that, you know, but to do that, you got to win on first down. And, you know, I look back in that game and I mean, obviously, you know, Daniels is a different quarterback now. They can threaten you down the field, obviously, with McLaurin, and that's, you know, a weak spot of the Bucs right now. They're missing Jamal Dean. We'll see if he comes back. They have a good corner in Zion McCallum. But you can make some plays over the middle of the field. You also got to be mindful of the fact that he can run it and go, you know, anywhere he wants to go on every single play. So they're going to be braced for that. I mean, they struggled against Lamar Jackson. I think Jaden rushed for like 88 yards or something, a couple touchdowns against them the first time, right? So by the same token, you know, it's going to be a problem. And defensively, these guys aren't as good as they probably need to be, but they've made it work the second half of the season, and especially the adjustments they make at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's been really good, but what's crazy is the Bucs clearly got red hot for a while. What happened? I mean, both just last week in that first half against the Saints was,
yeah.
I imagine there was a period of time where Bucs fans were like, oh my God, are we going to lose and be out of the playoffs? And then 2 weeks prior to that Dallas loss, like when things go sideways for the Bucs, what happens?
I think they get tight. I just think they play tight. And we've seen in a couple games, you know, the Dallas game coming off a great game against the Chargers, a really good playoff team that they just dominated, you know, put up over 40 points against the top scoring defense. And then, you know, they go to Dallas and they have a chance to separate themselves a little bit from Atlanta, and they let go of the rope, you know, and it's inexplicable, but it happens to them sometimes. Turnovers are always the thing that gets them. They had some weird ones in Dallas, but they didn't come out really as physical as the Cowboys did, which didn't make sense. I think they corrected that the next week. They pounded Carolina. You know, and it's really, when they start fast, when they have a lead, I think they're 9-1 when they score first. And when they don't, last week was the first game that they've actually come back from not having a lead in the beginning of the game. So they're kind of a front-running team. And, you know, it's hard to explain. Obviously, Baker has to take care of the ball. When he does, he's terrific. But they do start games slow at times. It's been an issue. The tackling is usually bad. That's been an issue. But they managed to kind of regroup and just calm down. They got a lot of young football players. This is the second youngest team in the league. So those guys can get kind of amped up a little bit.
We were talking earlier about Baker, like, speeding him up and trying to get him off his rhythm. But also, I think when he holds the ball and have to, you know, make plays and force it sometimes, those interceptions happen. He had a great year passing the ball, getting touchdowns, but he threw a lot of interceptions. What do you think gets him the most, rushing him or making him hold on to it?
Well, if he's in rhythm, he's one of the better passers in the league. You know, so any quarterback, if he can hit his third, fifth, or seventh step, whatever they're doing, and let the ball go, he's going to be very efficient. He's a very accurate passer. The throw he makes to McMillan, you know, to give them the lead last week is one of the best throws I've seen. He has a stronger arm than most people think. But, yeah, if he's not seeing the field or if they're covering up pretty good and he's, you know, pulling the ball down, anything could happen. He's a really good, you know, scramble-type quarterback, but he also, you know, has a little bit of Brett Favre in him, and, you know, he can gunsling it a little bit too much, and that can get him in trouble. So, you know, he's done some things with his feet, especially this last game. I think he had a career high rushing, I don't know, 60 something yards or whatnot, but he did it at critical times when he knew the coverage was in his favor, made big runs for first downs on third and long. And he's done a nice job of managing the game, but there is an element to Baker Mayfield, you know, and you got to walk that line with any quarterback. But he does make the spectacular and sometimes the really bad mistake. And, you know, it just depends on how he's seeing it. And, you know, how comfortable he feels out there. And like I said, I think they started a little tight. I thought Baker started a little tight. They only had the ball three times in the first quarter last week. That's not the way they want to play.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. betting football is hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be fascinating. And yet, you know, the Tampa defense has been really good against the run and not so much against the pass. We're talking with Rick Stroud, covers the Bucs for the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him at NFL Stroud, S-T-R-O-U-D. You know, when the seedings came out and it became finalized that Washington was going to be matched up against Tampa, in your mind, how does that matchup look when you know Jaden can be so effective through the air and, you know, this passing attack has been at various times pretty darn deadly?
Well, look, you can't duck anybody in the postseason, right? And so, you know, Minnesota was a hot team. If the Bucs had not been the third seed, maybe they'd have to play them. Certainly Detroit, you know, is the king of the NFC right now. The irony is that the Bucs have beaten Washington, Philadelphia, and Detroit. And those are the three teams, if everything goes chalk, that they'd have to play to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're a good football team. Now, you know, are they perfect? No. They've had to battle their butts off the last 2 years and win 6 out of 7 to win a division where, you know, 8, 9, and 10 wins took it, right? So you can say what you want about the South. They got some young players, some young quarterbacks, all that. But, you know, I think that they felt, look, they know Washington is not the same team they played in week one. They were fortunate to get them when they did. They had a nice day as far as offense went, and they put up some points. You know, I think if there's a vulnerability, they would probably feel like they could probably run the ball on Washington, I would imagine. That's what they're going to do because this is a running football team. Make no mistake about it. These guys are fourth in the league in rushing yards, and I think they're second in average. I mean, they're the only team in NFL history to have a quarterback complete 70% in average as a team over 5 yards of carry in the history of the league. So you talk about balance now. They got it, right? So they're going to come out, and they're going to try to limit the possessions because that's all you can do against a guy like Daniels and drive the ball, get on top, you know, try to keep the ball from going over their heads on defense. And if they can win on first down, that's going to be the key. If the Bucs defense wins on first down, they can create some problems for the quarterback. But if they don't, then they can give up sustained drives like they did last week. They just simply couldn't get off the field last week. The tackling was poor, but they made the adjustments, and they've been a different team in the second half this year of games. I can't really explain it. So Todd will have some stuff dialed up. But listen, they respect this quarterback. They know what they're looking at. This kid is so special and can hurt you in so many ways. And running quarterbacks have had some success against this defense, both throwing and running the ball. So they're not kidding themselves. If the Bucs win this game, their defense will have to play big. Now, they got the two big guys in the middle, Vita Vea and then Kalijah Kansey, who's a lighter version of a defensive tackle that's really fast and gets upfield. Running the football in the middle of the field is going to be an issue for anybody. So we'll see how they play it. But I'm looking for, I mean, really, it feels like a high-scoring game to me. And if somebody turns the ball, that might change things. But both these offenses have the advantage, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It feels like a race to 40 to me.
Yeah,
you know, like whoever. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that, you know, this is the highest over-under of all of Wild Card Weekend. Both these I think Washington's defense, you might be able to run and throw on them. Tampa's, you can definitely throw on them. You know, you mentioned Kalijah Kansey. He didn't play week one when Washington faced Tampa.
Right, that's correct.
He's been a big on the interior there. How good is he and how much of an impact, how much of a difference maker could he be?
Oh, he's exceptional, and it's something that the Commanders will have to account for. And it's difficult, right, because you have Vita Vea, who rededicated himself in the offseason and got himself in the best shape. Now, you know, he's still a 355-pound man. Let's not kid ourselves. But he did show up in the best shape he's been in, played as many games as he's played. He's double-teamed on every play. But his motor, his relentlessness, his strength is relentless. And then he creates one-on-ones
for the Kansas,
yeah.
who, you know, 2 years in a row started injured. But when he's going, you know, this kid is undersized but quick as hell and strong. And now he understands how teams are trying to block him. He's been very disruptive. I believe he led them in sacks this year. They didn't get anything off the edge, so, you know, I think 7.5 was enough for him to do that, despite missing a good portion of the first part of the year. So he's really good.
He's a player. Now, I don't know that he's going to play. I mean, frankly, since they've traded for him, we've seen a very limited dose of Marshon Lattimore. How big of a deal is it, considering the history with he and Mike Evans, if Lattimore is on that field Sunday night, what kind of impact does that make?
Well, if he can play, it's huge. It's absolutely huge, because that battle we've written about, we'll write about it again this week. I mean, it's one of those guys that they've been nemesis, right, in this division and the NFC South for years. Mike's been, I think, thrown out of a game, fined once or twice. I mean, you know, they depending on how the refs call it, they go at it. It's a physical battle.
It's the WWE.
It is. And it's worth just that alone. If you do nothing but isolate on those two guys, it's worth your admission. And, the, you know, the thing is, I think Mike against New Orleans only had three games before last week that he had 85 yards receiving, right? So Lattimore won, and the Saints defense won a lot of those battles. So if he can play and he's up to his usual standard, those two guys know each other as well as any corner and receiver in this league. They've been on the grass. They've been in the dirt together. They've thrown punches. It is an absolute battle. And so I'm looking forward. I hope he can play, because I'm looking forward to that. That's fun.
I've been looking at a lot of the little clips from their previous matchups, and I was like, damn, I don't know how they finish any game.
It's like a boxing match, right?
You have to have a referee crew who allows both of them to do that thing.
Yeah.
Because if you got some of these other guys, they'll be out of the game in the first damn drive.
Hey, Rick, man, we really appreciate you making time for us, dude. This has been learned a lot here.
Appreciate it, brother.
No problem, guys. Good luck. We'll see you.
Thank you, man.
All right, that's Rick Stroud. Give him a follow, @NFLStroud.